Our scripture lesson is found in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 9. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are equal. Each shall receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Now today I want us to talk about this whole concept of planting and watering. And I have to tell you, for me, in many ways it begins back in June of 1978. That's when Bishop Robert Blackburn ordained me as a deacon in the United Methodist Church. And then on June 6th of 1982, Bishop William R. Cannon ordained me as an elder. On June 18th of 2016, Bishop Hope Morgan Ward appointed me as pastor of Mount Olivet United Methodist Church. I got to tell you, today I stand before you scared. Just a little nervous. Just a little afraid, because I'm wondering of these mixed emotions that are bouncing around in my head and my heart. What's it going to be like? I mean, as the newbie in a situation, I always wonder, am I among people who are going to love me, who are going to care for me, who are going to teach me, who are going to hold me? But folks, I already know something, because I have prior experience with Mount Olivet United Methodist Church. I've already seen over the past 16 years many of the things that you're about, of who you are, of how you handle things, of how you respond to things. You've shown me you're going to love me even when I'm unlovable. You're going to show me what love looks like even when I can't figure out which ends up. You're going to care for me even when I don't seem to be caring for myself. You're going to teach me even in those times when it seems as if I am completely unteachable. You're going to show me just what Jesus looks like in his healing, in his wholeness, in his hope to people. Even as one just reached out and said, if I can just hold on to his touch, if I can just touch his garment, I'll be okay. If I can just talk to him at the well, life will be changed. If he touches my eyes, I'm going to see. But I got to tell you, I always wanted friends that were such good friends that they cut a hole right in the roof and lowered me right down. You are the face of Jesus to this blind, broken man. But I got to also tell you something. It's not just nervousness about wondering about the future, but you also have to understand, there's a part of my psychological DNA. I like new opportunities. I really do. I enjoy doing new things. I enjoy going to new places. I enjoy meeting new people. I enjoy all those tasks that are brand new, even as you come to your very first worship service and you wonder, I wonder what the order of service really looks like. Will anybody recognize it the way I'm doing it? I enjoy the excitement. I got to ask you a question. How many people in here love roller coasters? Come on, fess up. Yeah, get them up there. There you go. I got to tell you, I love roller coasters, but I do it with a strange twist because I want to be in that very first car. I want to be that person who can see every twist, every turn, every dip, every drop right before it happens. Now, I know there's probably a psychologist in here right now who's having all kinds of fun analyzing this strange new person who stands before you. But I got to tell you, that's who God made me. That's who I am. That is John Henry Dutton Jr. Yes, I literally put my John Henry on things. I understand some people dislike change. But personally, I think I find life as a balance between the things which are familiar and the possibilities that God places before us. But I got to tell you something. As much as it already sounds like it, today is not about me. Rick Warren started his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, with those very words. It's not about me. Max Lucado followed up with a whole book that he entitled, It's Not About Me. And the Apostle Paul, in talking to the people at the church at Corinth, he reminds them all over again, it's not about me. Now, you have to realize, Paul is talking to a church that he was there to help establish. He's been there to encourage them, to lift them up, to build them up. He's at a church that he feels like, I taught you all of the very fundamentals of the faith. Yet still he writes, what about Apollos? What about Paul? I planted, Apollos watered, but God made it grow. Now, the things you and I have to understand in Corinth, it was a growing, thriving city. Its economy was growing. Its population was growing. People were coming there to trade. But they'd hit a rough spot. And so Paul reminds them, I planted the seed. Apollos watered them. But only God makes the seed to grow. Folks, that's Paul's way of reminding us as pastors. That's Paul's way of reminding us as the church of Jesus Christ. That we get to work in the garden, but it's not about us. It's about God who makes things happen. I had a wonderful seventh grade Sunday school teacher, and he loved to tell us over and over again, if no one is concerned about who gets the credit, great things are possible. If no one's concerned about who gets the credit, great things are possible. And folks, I got to tell you, I have been blessed to work in the very same garden as Joseph Lennon, H.W. Brown, D.W. Carleton, Herman Winberry, Dennis Goodwin, George Speak, Jerry Cribb, John Check. I am blessed to work in the very same garden as you and all of the people who have been there and touched our lives. And because of them, you and I are here right now. We work in the same garden with all of those. And because of that, my heart just wants to sing out, and I'm going to bless you by not singing. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin and opened a life gate that all may come in. I heard about a situation where timber producers actually have to wait up to 180 years for their timber to grow up to harvesting. Think about that for just a second. That means that the person who first planted the seedlings is never going to know the great-great-grandchild who would be there for the harvest. And that great-great-grandchild who is there for the harvest will never know the great-great-great-grandparent who planted the seedling in the first place. The future depends upon the foresight, upon the very patience of every generation. We work in a garden that others have planted. Others have watered. Others have harvested. A field that maybe just now we've just started planting some seeds. Or maybe we get now to go out and to water some of the plants that mama or daddy or an aunt and uncle planted. We may water, we may plant, we may harvest. But in all of it, may God be glorified. Because, folks, I tell you this, and I tell you this with all of my heart. Who do people see when they look at Mount Olivet's garden? I can tell you something. If people look into our garden and they see John Dutton, I messed up. I've messed up bad. If when people look into Mount Olivet's garden, if they see your face, I led you to miss the mark. If people look into our garden and they see the face of Jesus, then we know we did it right. Then we know we've done everything God's asked us to do. It was Archbishop Oscar Romero, a person who actually was martyred at the very altar of the church that he served, who had previously written a piece called Prophets of a Future Not Our Own. And I want to share it with you. It says, "It helps now and then to step back and take the long view. We accomplish in a lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete." Which is another way of saying that the kingdom of God always lies before us. No statement can ever say it all. No prayer fully express our faith. No confession bring perfection. No pastoral visit bring wholeness. No program accomplish the church's mission. No set of goals or activities includes everything. This is what we are about. We plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. Did you hear that? We cannot do everything. But there is a sense of freedom in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. As Paul said to the church at Corinth, Jesus will keep you strong to the end, so that you'll be blameless on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into the fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, is faithful. And folks, you can grab hold of that and hold on to that today and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.